pistol shots ring out in a barroom night. Enter Betty Valentine from the upper hall. She sees a bartender in a pool of blood. Cries out, my God, they've killed them all. Here comes the story of the hurricane. The man the authorities came to blame for something that he never done. Put in a prison cell, but one time he could have been the champion of the world.
Damn, such an amazing song. What a great intro. Had to let that play for a little bit. That song, I don't know if that's an appropriate song for this podcast or not. Makes me, the part right where I cut it there, makes me think of McConaughey walking into the pool hall in Dazed and Confused. What an awesome use of music in that scene, in that movie. And obviously makes me think a little bit about our friends in the Bahamas. Prayers out to those folks. And man, a hurricane has hit us NFL folks over the last 24 or 48 hours with all the Antonio Brown craziness. But this is the week one DFS pod. We are not here to talk about Antonio Brown or any of that stuff. We're here to talk about my core plays, the guys I like for week one. And I got a lot of guys I like. We're going to get into them. And I'm still narrowing down. I'm really still finalizing my lineups. When this podcast is over, I'm going to have about 3 hours to really get into it. But I know where my players are going to come from. And I'll tell you guys who, you know, I'm leaning on, who are my guys who are really, you know, at the peak, who I want to get into all my lineups. So I'm going to try to get this podcast in around 20 minutes or so. I want it to just be a quick primer so you guys can get in and start doing your work. Obviously, thanks out to anybody listening. It's nice to have an audience. And if we get a couple hits for you, if you're rich at the end of the day, consider dropping us a donation. It helps. Anyway, so I'm going to go through the position groups. And then we might talk a little bit about lineup construction. So we're going to start with the quarterbacks. So up first on my board this week is Jameis Winston. Now, I don't know how many weeks this season I'm going to want to play Jameis Winston. If this offense clicks, he could be a regular. But going in to week one, it's about Bruce Arians and about the weapons, sure, but it's also about the matchup. I love this game, as I mentioned on the Fantasy Football Hour. Vegas has both teams scoring 25 or more. The game goes over 50. And, you know, we like both of these teams in terms of the pace they play at. You know, this has just got a lot of good vibes for fantasy. Hopefully it works out that way. Jameis at 6,600 is one of the pricier quarterbacks. So if you're looking to pay down a QB, he's not your guy. But, you know, he's so easy to stack. I mean, you can throw the full stack if you really wanted to. You can play Evans, Godwin, and O.J. Howard. I think it's probably better to find a way to differentiate and then tap in on the other side. But Winston's a guy who gives you all kinds of options. If you like to play an assortment of lineups, you may want to try stacking him multiple ways and then probably stack in some 49ers guys, because if this thing's going to work for you, the 49ers are going to score points too. They're going to push the whole thing. And again, that's what we like about this game. I think probably bigger doubts about the Bucs offense versus the Frisco defense, but I'm not a real fan of that on the Frisco side. And certainly, you know, with the exception of having to travel cross country, there's not much to dislike about the 49ers going up against a soft defense that can obviously be thrown on as well as run on. So I just like this game from a game theory perspective. I think we're going to get a lot of offense. Garoppolo is one of my other quarterbacks. We might as well just go right over to him, even though he's one guy down the list. Now, why play Garoppolo this week? I think the reasons are pretty obvious. A, the matchup is good. B, he's priced to sell. And C, unless you get a lot of people who are willing to completely fade the preseason, then I think people are going to be running away from Garoppolo. I think he's going to be low-owned given his structure. So if you care about QB ownership, and honestly, it's not something I give a lot of thought to, but I do think there's going to be a dip on Garoppolo's ownership. I mean, he wasn't even getting drafted in a lot of leagues. Now, why do we think Garoppolo can suck really bad in the preseason and then show up and play well? Well, it is sort of his calling card. He's a notoriously bad practice player, and obviously the guy's coming back off a long layoff and an injury. So this is definitely a little bit of a dice roll. You know, maybe he continues to struggle. It's certainly possible. But I'm going to bet that it's the same old Jimmy Garoppolo. and that he's going to come out and have a good day at 5,800 units. If I didn't mention, Winston was 6,600 units. So I like the game flow here. I like the fact that people may be off Garoppolo. He's low priced, and he's pretty easy to stack. You just throw Kittle in. Now, you could go contrarian. I think Marquise Goodwin down at 4K flat is a nice, probably low ownership, complimentary piece who has an opportunity in a game like this to score twice. And the thing we love about Goodwin is he can score from anywhere on the field. He also has a pre-existing solid relationship with Garoppolo. He's been Garoppolo's favorite receiver when he's played well in the past in Frisco. So there are, you know, those would probably be the two guys I'm going to, you know, stack with Garoppolo. But the beauty is it, the beauty of Garoppolo is, again, you've got the opposition game stack, whatever you want to call it. If we assume Garoppolo is going to play well, the odds are very good that the Bucs are doing well also. And so, you know, you do Garoppolo with Kittle. You know, you could add Goodwin, you know, depending on what you want to do. But then you can throw either Godwin's or Evans in there. Probably not O.J. Howard unless you want to really go, you know, double stack tight ends. But, you know, there's so much good running back value out there this week. Even though some people like to do it from a differentiation point of view, you know, I really like the tight ends this week. I don't think I like them enough to go double tight end over some of these running back values. If running backs were really sharply priced this week, you know, I think stacks of Kittle and Ertz, Kittle and Ingram, Ingram and Ertz, Kelsey. I'm not so much on Ertz, excuse me, but like Kelsey, Kittle, Kelsey, Ingram, Kittle, Ingram. And then obviously, we'll get to it later, but sort of hanging out there like a sore thumb is Hunter Henry, who's exceedingly low priced this week and a pretty good matchup for a tight end, at least for volume. So Winston and Garoppolo, definitely guys I want to get involved in. I think Winston is a relatively safe play. You know, don't put it on me if you decide to go to Garoppolo. This is something I'm doing. I'm not recommending it so much as I'm just trying to be very open about my process. Clearly, Garoppolo is a guy where you are assuming some risk. But we're talking about GPPs right now, not cash. And for me, I think Garoppolo in a GPP makes some sense. Quarterback I really love this week is Carson Wentz. You could get into a game flow debate where he could be shut down early. I sort of feel like if they shut him down, he'll already have a couple touchdown passes in the bank. And at his ridiculously depressed price of 5,700 units, I think for me, either him or probably Dak is where I'm going in cash right now. Probably Wentz. Cam Newton is another guy that I'm really into this week. You know, it's just, this game is another one where it's at 50. For Vegas, and both teams are pushing around 25 points. Panthers only at 24.25, but I think, you know, the way I see it, this is never a team that's just going to go to the run. They don't have a running back they want to just give carries to. So even if Carolina were to get ahead, I think they're going to go to the short passing game, which isn't going to hurt any of our guys that we're going to want to get involved in. So just Carolina feels like a very safe play to me this week. I think we're going to get ball distribution to the three primary weapons, Samuel, DJ Moore, and Christian McCaffrey. And, you know, the one thing we worry about with Cam is that he won't run at all because of the foot, but it sounds like he's been pretty mobile. So I think you'll get enough runs to give him a little foot point base, maybe nothing in the outrageous area that Cam is known for. But if he can just distribute the ball, if he can just get the ball to McCaffrey, get it to DJ Moore, get it to Samuel, those guys will give Cam foot points after the catch. This is a really good offense for Cam Newton if he evolves in the way they're trying to get him to evolve. So I'm very cool with playing Cam at 6,500 units, and I think you can stack him really any way you want. I think the Samuel stack, I think, is for me like mandatory. But then, you know, adding more is not silly at 5,500 units, and Christian McCaffrey will give you basically a piece of everything. So if you've got that Cam McCaffrey stack, it doesn't even hurt you that much when they go to the run. So I definitely like getting involved with Carolina in GPPs, and we might as well just move right over to the other side of the ball. You know, Goff is not exciting. I get that. And at 6,200, he's not really a value this week. But I do like the way he matches up against this defense. They handle the run fairly well. I think you're going to see some downfield passing in this game as long as they can protect, and I think they can. So to me, Goff, you know, has a really good chance at a good game. Now, a huge game might be a little tougher, but, you know, I think getting a good game out of Jared Goff is a pretty good bet this week. I think he's cashable if you wanted to use him in cash games. I like Wentz and the savings a little bit more. Other quarterbacks I like, I think Lamar Jackson may be a little risky. I think his floor could be a little bit low. But you know what? If we're playing him in tournaments, you know, floor is not really that big a consideration. I don't think he's a great cash play, but his ceiling is, you know, we look for ceiling. And, you know, if you look at ceiling, it's always the rushing quarterbacks. And, you know, I think Lamar in a GPP, maybe naked or maybe stacked with, you know, I don't really like stacking a tight end this week at a low cost. Probably not stacking him, to be honest. I might just stack him with Ingram would be a way to go. You know, doing a Lamar Ingram stack in a GPP, I think that could work out. The other guy I'm interested in, and I'm debating how much I want to get into it with the shares, because I think there's a lot of washout potential for Arizona. But Kyler Murray against a defense that I think can be thrown on and I think can be run on as a quarterback, you know, where Detroit's going to be really tough is just trying to hammer them. It's not a team you can just hammer the run on. So hopefully we're not going to see a lot of David Johnson up the middle like we saw last year. But with Kyler there, hopefully they just get out to the wings a lot. Hopefully they do some read option and have Kyler go to one wing and Johnson, you know, align for the middle or for another. There's a lot of ways they could make this game very interesting if they just open it up. And certainly they're talking like they're going to. Meanwhile, everybody, I think, is going to be running away from Kyler after the preseason that he had. So, again, if you like low ownership, his ownership, while I think it was going to be really high a month ago, it may end up being fairly low now. The question with Murray is, do you want to stack? I would stack David Johnson with him. I think that's how I'm going to get my David Johnson shares this week. It's by stacking with Murray. Because the way I see it, for Johnson to go off, they need to utilize him creatively. And he's going to have a pretty good passing down role. So this works together. If Johnson goes off, I think Kyler almost has to go off with him. So I think I'm going to join those two guys in some GPPs and see if I can catch lightning in a bottle. It's not going to be the bulk of what I do, but I'm definitely going to have my hand in there. You know, maybe four lineups, something like that. I am not, by the way, doing a ton of lineups this week. I'm probably going to be somewhere in the 20-25 range. Not total. I'm not talking about different lineups. I'm talking about entries. It's just been a weird week, you know? Like, I want to be more dialed in. And I like the groups that I've got. I feel good about the lineups that I've made. But, you know, I was still doing seasonal drafts halfway through this week. So, you know, my process started a little late. I just want to be upfront about that. So those are the quarterbacks I'm locked in on. And I'm not even scratching the surface. There's a lot of other quarterbacks we could look at. You know, Wilson could be viable in GPPs. I mentioned Dak. I think Dak's a play you can make this week. Some of the best QBs are obviously off the slate. And if I have time, I may throw a second podcast together if I have time to look at some of the matchup stuff or maybe the three-game slate, the late slate, Sunday to Monday. If I have some time this afternoon to really get into it, I may post like a 15-minute podcast later. No promises on that. It'll also depend if I decide to go to whiskey early today. We'll see how that goes. So, you know, one more quarterback I'm going to mention, and I don't know if I'm doing this or not, but Josh Allen, I think, is going to go one way or the other this week. And if he goes off, you know, getting an Allen, Smokey Brown stack, and then maybe playing around with even more because these Buffalo receivers are so freaking cheap. You know, I'm going to have to play around with some lineup construction. Like, what is a lineup with Allen, Smokey, Zay, and Beasley in it? Can I max out the other spots to a point where I like it so much where it's worth doing in a GPP? It's worth considering. I saw this on JM to Win site, and it's something I'm giving consideration to for what it's worth. By the way, while we're on JM to Win, his site's free this week. It's 1 week season. It's in my timeline if you haven't seen it. I don't know if you want to pay for the site all year. That's up to you. But how often do you get a chance to just peruse a really good pay site, use their tools for a week, and then decide? So, you know, and as I said, my process was a little bit shorter than normal this week. JM's wasn't. This is all he does. So once you listen to this podcast, go over to oneweekseason.com and check it out. I think this is a good week to do it. And hey, you may end up deciding to stay. And no, I do not have any business relationship with their site. Although I do plan on having JM on the podcast soon, just because he is sharp as all hell. And he's a really good guy. So let's jump over to the receivers. And as usual, this podcast is already going a little long. I'm going to try to go fast here. I know you guys need to work on your lineups too. Evans is really the guy at the top of my list this week in terms of high-priced guys. Not sure what my total exposure is going to be on him, but I love him this week, and 7,900 is not that hard to get in. The issue is I like Godwin too, and if I'm not doing a stack, I'm not likely to have them in both lineups. I think almost all of my lineups will include either Evans or Godwin. The other guy I just love at cost. I already mentioned Curtis Samuel, but D.D. Westbrook at 4,800 units in a game where they're going to absolutely have to throw the football if they're going to have any chance of winning against a team that is not exactly hard to throw on. And look, let's look at this thing. D.D.'s the guy in the middle of the field right now. He is the guy for them. And now you finally have a quarterback who's an accurate rhythm thrower who likes to work the middle of the field. This is a huge upgrade from Bortles, both in terms of target volume and efficiency. So, you know, D.D. Westbrook is one of those guys a lot of people just don't realize how good he is. If they can protect at all this week, I think Foles to Samuel is going to be a pretty good hookup, especially on a platform like DK where, you know, it's full PPR. And again, this guy's 4,800 units. This just feels like a mispricing to me. Again, Samuel, same thing. I don't think I will have a lineup that doesn't have either DD or Samuel in it. And I think more than 50% of my lineups this week will have both. Another guy I really like is John Brown. So I may stack Brown with Josh Allen. And you know, this is the problem I'm having. I really like Brown against the Jets secondary, and I feel like he's going to do something. And then you start to do the mental math. It's like, well, if Brown's going to have a good day, then Allen will have some passing statistics. All he has to do is have a typical running day, and he could break out a little bit. So even if I don't do that full Buffalo Bill stack that I was thinking about, that JM sort of stuck in my head, I do think I'm going to at least run one Allen-Brown stack and maybe mix in some other players that I like, the ones that I've been going through. Another guy who I like, I already mentioned, and I want to work him into GPPs. Even if Jimmy Garoppolo craters, he could have one big play to Marquise Goodwin. And at 4K, he only needs one big play to pay off. Another guy I like who I mentioned on the podcast, this morning's show is Adam Thielen. I feel like volume's going to flow to him with Diggs banged up. He's only 6,800 units. That's a nice price. For a guy, I think, who almost has to get volume this week. We don't know about season long, but this week I think he has to get some volume. All right, let's go over to the running backs. Man, I like a lot of these running backs this week. The pay-up guys are great. Obviously, Barkley and Christian McCaffrey, if you can pay up to them, they're good plays. So I definitely will, in some cases, pay up for these guys. I think even Zeke is viable. You know, my problem with Zeke is I think they may blow the Giants out. And once the Giants are blown out, does it make any sense at all to use Zeke Elliott? I think it probably doesn't. So that's where my trepidation is on Zeke. It's not so much that they don't want to use him. It's that they may not need to in the second half. And at that point, give Pollard some touches, just give whoever touches. So that's sort of where I'm at on Elliott. I don't want to say don't play him because I think there are scenarios where he could go off. He could score three touchdowns. There's all kinds of reasons he could go off. I just feel like, you know, he's priced for full-blown Zeke, and there's too many scenarios where we don't get that. Now, on to the guys who I absolutely love. Well, there's really one. It's Dalvin Cook. Now, everybody's going to be on Cook. I understand that. He's probably going to be chalk. You may, you know, for those of you who are contrarian, fading the chalk, maybe that's a way to go. I just feel so good about Cook right now. I feel this week is a week where they need to use him. He's on turf. He's against a defense that will give up receptions to the running back. Yeah, I know Madison's a factor. I love Madison, and they've got other running backs they can use as well. But I feel like Atlanta's going to be good enough. They're going to put enough pressure on them where this is a week where getting Cook to 20 touches, I feel, is likely. And I feel like at least five of them should be via the pass. So he's a good floor back. And, you know, the upside for him to rip off big plays is there. So I love Cook this week. The other guy I love is Fournette. And look, The reasons to hate Fournette are obvious. He's a guy who put a lot of us in the poorhouse last year. I had one team that would have won a league if Fournette could have just not been a dog. He didn't even have to be good. Just not sucking would have done it. And I actually snuck into the playoffs even after I lost so many guys to injury. Cooper Kupp and Ajayi, the list goes on. This team got brutalized. And I still made the playoffs, and I would have won. But Fournette got suspended because he hit somebody in the, you know, in like, I think week 13. So yeah, just a total disaster. So I want recency bias to keep me away from Fournette, but there's just no way I'm doing it this week. The volume's going to be there. I mean, he could have 30 touches in this game with six of them coming via reception. They're not equipped to go to a passing down back right now if they fall behind. I think Fournette may be the guy they go to in the pass game if they fall behind. So there's so many positive scenarios for him here. It's not like it's the toughest matchup. The game could be quick-paced because, you know, the Jaguars are not the stuck-in-the-mud team that they were from a mental standpoint in the past. I think their scheme's going to be a little bit more open. You know, and this is a team that's going to put points on them. So, you know, look, there are reasons to be afraid of Fournette. You know, of course there are, but this is a week where he's priced. I mean, gosh, I want to make sure I got this number right. I want to say 62. Yeah, 6,100. I mean, that's nothing. So Fournette opens up other possibilities. I can get Fournette and Dalvin in my lineup. It opens up salary space to get McCaffrey or Saquon in if I want to do that. So, you know, I feel like I'm going to have at least 50% exposure to Fournette this week. And then Chubb is another guy I absolutely love just because, like Fournette, where else are they going to go? Chubb's going to be in the backfield on most of the snaps in this game. The only reason I'm not all in, the only reason I don't have Chubb in every single one, he's probably going to be in the 60% area, I'm thinking. You know, when you look at these two teams, they do like to take the air out of the game. The Titans are going to try to shorten the game, and Cleveland doesn't really fight that. So, you know, like 30 touches for Chubb probably isn't going to happen. But I think 25 is definitely, you know, out there to be had. And I don't think this defense can really stop them. They're a decent run defense. They're not great. So I think Chubb's a really good play this week. I'm definitely going to have a fair amount of him. So Dalvin Cook, Fournette, Chubb, Christian McCaffrey, Saquon Barkley. And then we go to Chris Carson. If I'm using the Seattle defense, I love stacking it with Carson. Now, Carson's got a similar problem to Ingram in that if this game goes blowout too fast, too big, it could end up being like a 50-50 week with Rashad Penny, who gets most of his carries against the gassed defense and actually puts up better stats. That's out there. It could happen. So I wouldn't like go all in on Carson in every single lineup, but I think having a taste of him stacked with the Seattle defense makes a little bit of sense. He's got an excellent chance at multiple scores and like, you know, 15 to 20 carries. And then another guy where I'm just really tempted and I want to get him in some of my lineups because I think this is a great matchup for him and he's so priced to buy is Matt Breida. Now, Tevin Coleman's an issue. We don't know how this is actually going to play out. We don't know what that distinction on the depth chart really meant, but Breida's been running well. He's immersed in the scheme. It works for him. And this is a game where they can't really afford to mess around. This is going to be a winnable game for the 49ers. It's a really big game. If they win this game on the road, it really puts some wind in their sails. So I don't think they're going to be hung up in, you know, trying to keep people happy or anything that this week. They're going to do what they think is going to help them win the game. And to me, that means Matt Breida needs to touch the ball 15 times. We'll see if I'm right on that. Okay. That's most of what I like with the first three position groups. Tight ends, man, the tight ends are good this week. It's not going to be hard to find one in DFS. So let's move over and talk some tight end. Now, the guy that I just love this week is Kelce. Now, you got to pay up to him at 7,100 units. You know, and the problem I'm having is that I just like all these tight ends so much. I mean, Kittle at 6,600 is, you know, equally compelling. The thing is, you don't really need the savings with a lot of the lineup builds that I'm coming up with. So, you know, it's a really tough choice between Kittle and Kelce. I may just split the baby, or I may just decide to go with one or the other. I haven't even decided yet. OJ Howard at 5K is another play I love for GPPs. I love it, but the problem is the two receivers I like even more. I feel like the volume is more guaranteed, and there's other guys I like so much at tight end. So I think even though I love Howard at 5K, I may end up under, you know, a bit underweight on him. I already have him in one Jameis stack, so I'm not going to be zero. But these other tight end values are such that I probably end up a little bit low on O.J. Howard. Because, look, Ingram at 4,800 in a game where the Giants could be chasing. And, gosh, who else are they going to target? Evan Ingram could see 11 targets this week. It wouldn't shock me at all. And he has the ability to beat, you know, even these great defenders that Dallas has. Evan Ingram, you're not going to out-athlete Evan Ingram. And they're going to reload up to stop the run. So, you know, having long touchdowns from Evan Ingram in this game is not out of the question at all, and he should get volume. And then, you know, again, as great a value as he is at 4,800, you go 3,900 with Hunter Henry against, you know, the low A dot Colt defense. You know, Rivers, I think, is going to have to go underneath a lot in this game. I think Keenan Allen is going to get a lot of targets, and I think Hunter Henry is going to get a lot of targets. The running backs are probably going to get a lot of targets. So Hunter Henry, you know, in cash at 3,900, I think really it's almost the no-brainer play unless you feel really strongly about the other plays. So I'm probably going to do a lot of Hunter. You know, Hunter Henry will probably be in my cash lineup just because of the savings. If I find out that, you know what, I just don't need him, I may go up to Ingram in cash. And then in GPPs, it's going to be a mix of Kelce, Kittle with some Ingram. The unfortunate thing is I just feel like the running backs, as I mentioned earlier, are such good values this week. You know, this is a tight end week where I might go double tight end for differentiation purposes. You know, I just don't feel like the value's there. When I can play a running back who's going to get more touches at lower money, it just feels suboptimal to go do that. So that's where I'm at with the tight ends. Just, it's so easy to play it this week. I'm not even getting into the value options. I mean, there are some. You know, Delanie Walker, I think, is a pretty good value. You know, Mark Andrews at 3K, Darren Waller at 3K. You know, even Vernon Davis at 2,700. There are Eifert at 3,100 if you wanted to get really funky. There's a lot of ways you can go with tight end this week. For me, I'm going to sort of go with the KISS, just keep it simple, stupid, and go with the studs. Because I want to rock and roll at every spot. And, you know, we've got tight ends out there you can afford to fit into your lineup who are potential 30-point players on DK. I'm not going to go away from that. Okay, a couple things on lineup construction and defenses. Now, there are a lot of good defensive plays out there this week, and I know some folks will just want to go cheap. And you know what? It's not the dumbest thing in the world to do. You know, I think the Panthers defense, for example, is probably a decent cheap play because I think the pace of that game is going to be pretty up. I think the Jaguars defense at 2,300. Remember, giving points up doesn't hurt you that much in fantasy. What you want are turnovers and sacks. You want a lot of opportunities, a lot of plays. Mahomes will give defenses opportunities. He's aggressive. So and they're going to drop back a lot. So there's sack potential, there's pickoff potential, there's fumble potential. You've got great athletes on the Jaguars side of the ball. So if there's a tip ball, it can come back for six. If there's a fumble, it can come back for six. So at 2,300 units in a high-paced game, I think the Jaguars are a viable play. They're not in my core. I have three defenses I'm sort of looking at the most this week. Look, Ryan Fitzpatrick against the Ravens defense in a game where the Ravens could just go nuclear, I want a piece of that. I'm going to pay up for it. I'm not going to apologize, okay? I know there's plenty of good reasons not to do it. I'm doing it anyway. In addition to that, I think Philadelphia at home against an absolute dumpster fire of a Redskin offense that can't protect the quarterback with Trent Williams out, a good pass rush for the Eagles. This looks like an absolute disaster for Washington. I'll pay the 3,600 units for some exposure to the Eagles. And then lastly, the Browns against Mariota. Again, an offense on the road with an offensive line that cannot protect. Remember, Terrell Lewin is out. You know, and the Browns can get after the quarterback in a major way. The Titans could fall behind in this game. There's all kinds of potential for defensive scoring for the Browns. So Ravens, Eagles, Browns, it just feels right. And then there are some cheaper options if you get to a lineup builder, you need a cheap defense. So I don't think defense, you know, obviously we're going to have to shake up the tumblers, roll the dice, and see what happens. But in terms of finding a defense you feel good about at any price level, it's not a tough week. And in the mid-range, I think the Bills and the Jets game, either one of those defenses could be good. So there's really a lot of good places you can go with defense. Now, in terms of roster construction, it's sort of about games for me. It's like, which game do I want to get this particular lineup built around? And the games I'm focusing on for sure, as I've already mentioned, are San Francisco, at Tampa, for all the reasons I've already mentioned. I think getting a piece of Detroit Arizona is something I want to do, but probably not heavy. I want to be able to be wrong there and not have it kill me. I think Kansas City at the Jaguars, it's possible people are going to stay away from that game because of the Jaguars, but don't kid yourself. Vegas has Kansas City at 27-5, and they've got the game over 50. This is not a game to run away from, and I think Kelce is an excellent play. And, you know, I didn't mention him in the receivers, but Sammy Watkins at 5K, when the defense is going to be shifted to deal with Hill, Sammy Watkins is a nice contrarian play this week. The other game I really want to be involved in is the Panthers-Rams for the reasons I've already mentioned. And then the other games, it's sort of about finding some areas I want to get involved. Like with the Ravens, I like, you know, the Ingram stack with Lamar a little bit. On the Brown side, I think OBJ, a little bit concerned about this hip thing and the pace of the game. So I think for Beckham to get like 12 targets is really unlikely. He's probably going to need to have a big game on like 8 in this affair. So that combined with the injury has me a little bit. I was probably going to be like 50% Beckham. Now I'm probably going to be like 10, 15% Beckham. But I'm going to be leaning in on Chubb. I'm going to have a lot of Chubb. Let me see. A couple other teams that you might want to get involved in just solo. Well, the Cowboys. You know, I think, and I mentioned Dak and Cash. I think Michael Gallup as a dart throw makes sense. But I think the reason I'm not, I would be all in on the Gallup dart throw. The problem is the Giants, you know, their weakness is in the middle, not on the perimeter. If the Giants' weakness was on the perimeter, I'd be all in on Dak, and I'd probably be double stacking him. Anyway, that's sort of where I'm at. I am now about to dig in and start really putting the final screws in my own lineups, and I'm going to really stare at my cash lineup and decide if I want to make any changes. Hopefully you guys have a good week. Next week is going to be a little bit more normal structure. We're going to have the Waiver Wire podcast on Tuesday, Waiver Wire on WEI, and then probably on Saturday next week, not Sunday, it'll be Saturday next week. I apologize. I lost my internet for 14 hours, basically about 5 o'clock Friday to Saturday morning, which really punked me because that's a big prep period of time for me on a weekly basis. So that's why this podcast got delayed, just for explanation's sake. Hopefully it's better that I did it now because I'm in a better place now and I feel better about my recommendations. So that's going to do it for this not as brief as I wanted it to be, edition of the Rotobomb podcast. Good luck to everybody with your week one lineups and seasonal. Hopefully we bring home some bacon in DFS this week. And for those of you who have lineup questions, I will be on Twitter probably from around 11:30 to 12:30 if it works out. So if you want an answer, try to hit me up during that time frame. See you next week, everybody.